This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again! It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It's an emergency pod, that we've been hoping we're going to get the chance to record for months. I'm sure it's an emergency pod you were hoping to get for months. We've been talking about the right-handed bat, and the Red Sox have gotten the best available on the market. Alex Bregman is at Boston Red Sox. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, hit the subscribe button wherever you're getting your podcasts. Subscribe, rate 5 stars, Apple, Spotify, Odyssey app, everywhere. Find us on YouTube. We're on the WEEI channel. Subscribe to WEEI. Find the Play Tessie playlist there. Has all of our episodes, so subscribe there. Hit the thumbs up on all of our episodes and find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. So I'm here with Sammy. I'm here with Pat. It's Gordo. And I got to tell you, this is what Full Throttle looks like right here. $40 million a year. Alex Bregman, 3 years, $120 million. Opt-outs after each of the first 2 years of the deal. Deferred money. $40 million AAV to get the right-handed bat that this team needed. To get the leader that this team needed. To get the defender that this team needed. To just get the player that this team needed. And we talked about the comments all offseason, what Sam Kennedy said, saying they were, if they needed to, they would go into the luxury tax. They said that they were going to go after the division. They said they were going to 90, they were going to go after 90 to 95 wins. And this is a move that signals that they were serious. We said a lot of stuff this offseason. We certainly held them accountable. We never forgot what they said. But at this point, they've delivered. And look no further than Linda Pizzuti's Instagram story with John Henry smoking that cigar to tell us and everyone else talking to shut the F up. Because, yeah, right here on your screen, man, like, oh, that is the flex of all flexes. And right now, man, I have not been this excited for a Red Sox season in some time. And this is coming from a guy who, regardless of the product they put on the field, is going to be excited about Red Sox seasons. But they got the ace in Garrett Crochet. They got the bullpen help. They got a second starter with Bueller. And now, man, they have gotten the bat that they so desperately needed, the leader that they so desperately needed, the player that they so desperately needed. Alex Bregman is coming to town, man. And I'm excited.
Where do I even begin? We have been ripping Red Sox ownership on Play Tessie for since the birth of this podcast. And even before that, before we were doing the podcast, we have been ripping these guys, Adam Duvall being the last major league bat they've signed, talking nonstop about you could sign this guy, you could sign that guy, and they never signed any of them. And finally, February 12th, 2025, as we're recording, they finally landed the big bat, Alex Bregman, 3-year deal, $120 million. We'll get into the details later. This changes everything. This helps you offensively. This helps you defensively. You can do a lot of different things with the guys on the roster now, with Bregman being able to play second, being able to play third. So many options now. The right-handed bat that they desperately needed. Everyone knew they needed a right-handed bat. It was the most obvious thing in the world. Everyone was talking about it. Even when we started getting into the coping phase, when people were saying, maybe they don't need a right hand. Yes, they did. And they got the best one available on the market. I could not be happier. It's great. I don't even know what to say. I forgot what this feeling feels like. And when this news broke, I was legitimately directly outside of Fenway Park. It was beautiful. The snow was falling. It felt like we were doomed for another long season, but then a twinkle of hope. Alex Bregman. I could not be happier.
The biggest part of this is so like beyond what we wanted. It was like, get Bregman, like he's not going to get 200. Maybe, you know, you top out at like 168. No, they had a structured format that they did not budge from. They said, we will give you 3 years. Wait it out. And then they just said, oh, wait a minute. Let's just throw our nuts on the table and give you $40 million a year. That is exactly what the Red Sox should have been doing the past couple of off seasons. But what they needed to do this offseason, they threw the balls on the table. They got their guy. I would even call it an overspend. It's 3 years. Like, it's 3 years. How did they do that?
You got to look with the format, because personally, like, I've never been the biggest fan of giving the comp pick to players that can opt out after the first year. And like, I stand by it. It's not my favorite form of contract. But the truth is here, like, comp pick aside, the upside here is he crushes it for you and you have a good 1-year deal and have the opportunity to re-sign him afterwards. And if you don't re-sign him, like, obviously we know Vlad is going to hit the market next year, and hopefully they'll make a play at him regardless of this deal. But the downside is, yeah, if he's not good year one, then he has a chance to bounce back year two. And if he doesn't bounce back year two and you're feeling like, yeah, he's probably a depleted asset, then it's only 1 year that you have to eat. As opposed to, like, when you look at Trevor Story, with that deal, it was a 6-year deal. When he kind of had a rough year one and then didn't bounce back year two, it's like, oh crap, like we've got a brutal asset on the board here for like 4 more years. The downside is so limited when you limit the years. Like, you're not going to run into a Xander Bogart situation where that contract stinks and now you've got basically a decade to eat. But on the other side of it, like, the chance that it works, you got a guy that has like a 1200 OPS career at Fenway Park. The guy just mashes at Fenway Park. It's a ballpark that's built for him to just double after double after. Like, he's not going to have crazy home run power because it's a lot of line drive, but his OPS is going to shine. He's going to be at the top of the league in doubles. And if you look at the trend in, I'd say, the second half, maybe even a little bit more than the second half, maybe it was the last 4 months of the year with a mid to high 800s OPS and hitting lefties well. Like, I know a lot of people will look at his season stats and say that, oh, the Sox need to hit lefties better, and he didn't hit lefties particularly well last year. Well, after the first couple of months when he made a real adjustment, he hit them real well, and that was while playing injured. Like, this is a guy who's going to come into camp presumably healthy. You have to feel good about what this move does, and we've talked so much about how the American League is so wide open. This is the type of risk that you take when it's for the taking. Like, I don't know about you guys, but this move vaults them into division contention in my eyes. Assuming that they get a reliever at the end to finish it, and like, I don't see why they wouldn't, because like, how could you not finish the roster at this point? Like, they're gonna do it. Like, this is a team that's going to compete for the division. That's the way I see it. Sammy, you're muted.
Sorry, I was moving around. I didn't want to disrupt your beautiful words. Here's some Bregman stats. You alluded to how he started off cold against everyone, and then he heated up. These are just his numbers versus lefties in 2024. So April, 523 OPS, awful. May, 440 OPS, even worse. Then something clicked, because in June versus lefties, 881. July, 779. August, 947. September, 983. And then if you want to do June to September, 894 OPS. So I'm not worried about the left-handed thing. I think that's been overstated. In his career, he has an OPS over 860 against lefties. I'm not a concern for me. This is a great fit. What do you got, Gordo? I see you smiling.
Tigers offered 6 years, $171 million, and the Astros offered six for $156, and he took the three-year deal for $120 with the Sox. And obviously, like, there's potential to earn more, but man, that's
sounds like
a lot
he didn't want to go to the Astros and he wanted to be on the Red Sox. Boy, no, I'm not. No victory laps here. We're all partying. This is, I mean, I feel good about the Red Sox brand right now. It makes me feel encouraged. Like I said a few days ago, like I think people still want to play for the Red Sox, and Bradfo kind of poo-pooed it. And I'm like, well, Bradfo knows better, and he does. But you know, little inkling of hope. Maybe they do. Maybe the brand is still alive. And now they start winning. Baby, I am. I don't even know what to say.
I think it's regrown. I don't think the brand is the same as it used to be, because like the brand
was never the same with the curse and everything. Yeah.
But now it's like, now it's, they have a recent history of winning, and they've got an incredible farm system where you expect them to win again. And it's like, okay, let me be a part of building that up. Like we're starting from the ground. Like this is going to be, like if you're Alex Bregman, you're going to walk in here and say, this is going to be my team. Like these kids, Roman, Marcelo, Campbell, like these kids are going to come up and I'm going to be the one that's going to show them how to do it here. They're going to pay me a shit ton of money and we're going to win a shit ton of games and we're going to bring these guys up and we're going to win even more games.
Let's go. And dude, it's like you had a ship and it had all these really great crew members and they're all good at their jobs, but they were lacking a captain. And now you have your friggin' ship captain. And his name's Alex Bregman and he's a mensch. I can't friggin' wait for this. This is like how I felt heading into the 2019 season. Like this team is going to be sick. Obviously they weren't that great in 2019. They're okay, but
going in.
Oh yeah. Going in. And by the way, we don't have to get too into this. Might be the best team in the American League on paper. I know the Yankees are good, but the more I think about it, we'll see. We'll have like a detailed breakdown of that eventually, but I don't know, man. The Yankees in the 2019 All-Star team, they're really scaring me too much, and I'm also very much in my feels right now, so if I run this all back, please allow me to apologize, but I don't think I'm going to. I really feel good about this team, and this is without even mentioning. Now the prospects come up. And they're not in the spotlight. They are not supposed to be the guy. We have to worry about that anymore. Christian Campbell, come up and bat seventh or eighth. How about that? Nice and cozy down there. No pressure, buddy. Hit a few home runs. Maybe we won't even notice. No, we will. But it's just great. There's so many things to like about this trade. I could talk about it for like 17 hours, but I'm not going to.
Sam, you want to talk about in your feelings? I already put $100 on the Red Sox over on wins.
You beat Vegas, right? Did you beat Vegas? What was the number? Vegas.
It was 84.5, which is highway robbery. Because that's what it's been since they signed Walker Buehler. Anyways, so going like beyond the second base fit, the right-handed bat, all this stuff, I'm going to steal a page out of Rob's playbook. He checks so many boxes off the field that they just haven't had, I would say, since Pedroia left. They don't have the grizzled veteran. They don't have the guy who's been there, done that. They don't have like the no bullshit, just menace. That is Alex Bregman. He is a dirt dog. He's a winner. He's been there, done that. He's a gold glover. He's been an all-star. Like everything you want from a guy mentoring this next group, leading the current group as well, he checks all those boxes and just coincidentally fits everything the Red Sox needed on the field. Right-handed bat, second base. Like, it's a perfect, perfect, perfect fit on and off the field. And I would have paid him $50 million.
Let's take another page out of the Brad Foe playbook too, from when we last had him on. He made such a good point about the Red Sox brand and how getting a guy like Bregman just in the eyes of the fans, like, that's a jersey you're putting in the pro shop. That's a bobblehead you're handing out to the fans this year. That's a guy that people are going to come to the ballpark to see. Like, you can have merch based around this guy. And like, yes, obviously, like, if he's having a great season, there's going to be talk about, oh gosh, like, they can't lose this guy, right? Like, you guys remember, like, the whole Xander Bogaerts thing, how that was a conversation the whole year. Like, obviously, if you hit July and he's got like a 920 OPS and he's having his best season since 19, then yeah, that's going to be a conversation. But guess what? Like, the team's going to be winning. There's going to be fans in the stands, and they're actually going to be Red Sox fans this year. Like, there's going to be people buying shit. Like,
it's not going to be Dodgers fans?
No, I mean, well, yes. There's going to be, okay. The Dodgers fans will still flood the ballparks, okay? But maybe, like, we won't be overrun with, like, Blue Jays fans this year. Like, it got bad. And I like to think, like, I put a poll out there. I got to check on the results because I was curious, and I haven't, I say this not having looked at all, but I put a poll out there to see. Okay, people were like, so the poll was, where is your excitement level for the 2025 Red Sox season in wake of the Alex Bregman signing? And there were three options. It was, I was excited and I still am. Then there was, I wasn't excited, but now I am. And then there is, wasn't excited and I'm still not. And the people who are not excited, out of the voters, it's 4%. But 71% were already excited and are still excited. 25% were not excited, but now they are. But just guess what? Like, if that is anywhere close to indicative of the overall fan base, then guess what? Like, you're bringing in a huge chunk of fans who have been just numb to everything that's been going on and just have tuned out. But now, like, oh, they're coming back. They're coming back. And they're all going to be listening to Play Tessie, that too.
What number is Bregman going to wear?
Two?
No.
Think so?
Oh, two. Yeah, he can wear two.
Yeah. Right? Do we have a two? My brain is like not working. I can't even think of numbers right now.
Justin Turner had it after Xander. And I don't think anyone's had it last year.
Okay, cool. So that's
Justin good. Turner. Oh, Joe put it in the chat.
Oh, Dom
had it.
Right, so, yeah, that's right. I was going to say,
don't say it.
It's Dom. So didn't some
Stop
some
it, Sammy.
Didn't some superstar have that number? And I was thinking of Xander, but it was actually Dom Smith. Okay, cool. So we don't have to worry about the jersey number. That's I'm so weird, man. That's like, after I think about the fit, the second thing I think is like, all right, what number is he gonna wear? Like, also, this is weird. You guys might think I'm lying, but I swear I'm not. When they traded for Crochet, in my head, I'm like, 35 would be such a sick number for him. And then they gave him 35. I was so happy. I didn't say anything because I know people will be like, this guy's insane. Like, why does he care so much? You 35, really cool number. Number two for Bregman. Bregman's the shit. So is number two. Perfect. I can't. I couldn't be happier for this. This is so exciting. You saw Zach Kelly posting like excitement stuff on Twitter. Like, this has to feel good. Dude, this has to feel good for the Red Sox. You know who I do feel bad for, though? I kind of feel bad for Nolan Arenado. I think he really wanted to be on the Red Sox, and now he's like, God, I'm stuck with the friggin' Cardinals. Which, by the way, St. Louis, from what we've heard from players and like around the league, it's a great place to play. It's just like they're trending the other way. They're going to be 34, so seems like a gamer. I hope he lands with a contender, unless it's the Yankees. I hope he lands. Where would he go?
Pat, I know you have a quote, but the Tigers, 6 years, 171 mil, had an opt-out after 2 years as well. I cannot believe he didn't do that.
Oh, my God.
That allows you to leave when school
leaves. Not what I was going to say, but news pass-in confirming Alex Bregman will play second base.
Nice. Okay.
The tweet reads, the expectation is Alex Bregman will play second base for Boston. Sources tell ESPN, even though the Red Sox have top prospect Christian Campbell coming, they saw Bregman having enough of an impact that they offered $40 million a year with deferrals to make the deal happen. Pat, do your thing, and then I want to talk about the position stuff.
Yes.
Do you guys remember probably about 10 years ago that lady wrote the book A Gronking to Remember? It was the erotic novel involving Rob Gronkowski.
Actually, yes, I do.
I imagine this quote from Alex Bregman's dad is going to do the equivalent to what that book did to 40-year-old women, what it's about to do to Sammy. In 2018, Bregman's father, Stan, lovingly called his son, quote, a 5'10" little Jewish kid from Albuquerque, New Mexico. The way he carries himself, far more imposing. Bregman is done delivering brash interviews, staring into a dugout camera, or carrying his bat down the first baseline, but still boasts the edge of all that it exemplifies.
You know, I'm not even like a religious person. Obviously, like, I rep the tribe, grew up Jewish, had a bar mitzvah, but I've never been super religious. But when there's a Jewish athlete, I'm like, yo, that's my guy. Because we don't have that many. Like, Edelman, Jeremy Swayman, Bregman.
Uke.
Yeah, Uke. There's been a few, but, you know, we're generally not the most athletic bunch, to be totally honest. So we get a guy like Bregman. It's exciting for you. Representation matters. That's a thing. Representation matters. So, yeah, great quote. It did do exactly what you described, Pat. You just can't see. We're on camera, but, you know, just my head. So, this is...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is exciting. We should. What do you guys think the lineup's going to look like?
I tweeted my hopeful
read
lineup.
Let me
go find the tweet. But I can read it by memory too because I'm just a freaking genius. I go Duran in center. I go Devers batting second at third. I hit Bregman hitting third, playing second. Casas cleanup playing first. Willier Abreu batting fifth, playing right. Trevor Story batting sixth, playing short. Yoshida, if he's healthy for opening day, batting seventh and DHing. I've got Christian Campbell as my opening day left fielder, batting eighth. Connor Wong catching, batting ninth. So I have Christian Campbell making my opening day roster and playing left, but if he doesn't, like, you could just as easily play Duran in left and play Rafael in center.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you a dissenting lineup. So it's slightly different. So I'd have Duran in left, Devers at third, Bregman at second, Casas at first. God, this is hard to do off the top of my head without being able to see it. Casas at first. I think I would go probably Story fifth, and then you have Yoshida after to move him over, and then you have Ref Snyder after Yoshida, so they'll put in a lefty and be like, ha, 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 we're going to get Yoshida and Abreu. Boom, here comes Ref Snyder, you're dead. How many is that? That's six.
It's impossible to do lineups off the dome.
Yeah, then you do like I don't even know. I got to write this down. This was a terrible idea for me to try to do this off the top of my head. But yeah, I could see Bregman at second. I think that's the smart move. I think if he stays for multiple years, then it would be temporary. We haven't really gone over the contract details too much. I don't know if
we don't really have
them
yet.
Yeah, we kind of have like vague details.
He's probably it's 40 million. Oh, actually, I guess we don't know if it's 40 million a season. I guess
No. Ari Alexander confirmed that AAV per year is 40. They just don't know what amount of the 40 each year is deferred.
Okay, so I think like he would have to have a pretty damn good year to opt out, I'd think. Like, I think it's going to be pretty tough to turn away 40 million a season, especially after the free agency process that he just went through, where
32 years old too.
Yeah. Like, I know there's not going to be a pick attached, so there's that. Like, if he has like a 900 plus OPS and plays Gold Glove defense, like, yeah, he'll opt out. But if he has the year he just had, I don't think he will.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know, man. It seems like he got offered more years and more money elsewhere, and he took less to be in Boston. Maybe if he, like, you know, this is big time, like, fan, quote unquote, pink hat, which I don't like that phrase, but
pink shirt for you right now.
Pink shirt. Shout out Sean Palmer for the great. If he really likes it here and the Red Sox are doing well and they're winning games and they're making the playoffs and they're going deep into the playoffs, have a chance at a World Series, I don't know. Maybe he stays. We're not even close to that. I can't even think about, like, is he going to opt in or opt out until, like, August. I'll start thinking about that in July or August.
Before I go off of that, Sandy, because I have a thought on that, Cubs' final offer just came out. It was 4 years, 120. So they literally just blew that out of the water. They gave him the same exact total money with one less year. But Sandy, going off what you were just saying, I'm not worried about the opt-out right now. Like, it'd be nice to know the contract details and kind of, like, mentally, like, okay, like, you know, 50% chance, 35% chance he opts out, whatever. I'm not even going to think about it. I don't care if he opts out. The opt-out is actually good for both sides, in my opinion, because if he's crushing it, he opts out, he gets his 5-6 year deal worth, you know, whatever the Tigers just offered him. At that point, ideally for the Red Sox, Christian Campbell or Marcelo have panned out. Story's at short, Marcelo's at second, flip-flop, do whatever kind of moving around you need to do. A year is kind of that perfect stopgap. It's kind of like what Tyler O'Neill would have been on the QO. We talked about how he takes the pressure off the young kids. That's what Bregman would be on, you know, on a 1 year deal that he ends up opting out of. it would have to be a lot of money, I think, in my opinion, deferred for him to opt out. But, I mean, the opt-outs work both ways. Like, I'm not even freaking out about if he does opt out.
I want to talk about the angle of this, like the Bregman versus Arenado, because obviously these guys' markets were super connected, and Arenado had to be sitting there praying that Bregman did not sign with the Red Sox. And like, God, the worst case scenario for Arenado was for Bregman to draw this out as long as it got drawn out and then pick Boston. But the Bregman fit just, to me, always made so much more sense. It was such a cleaner fit just because he could play second base. Like, if he's playing second base, you have the ability to have him, Devers, Yoshida, and Campbell in the lineup at the same day. In the same day. Where if you have Arenado, you're basically picking two out of the three of Arenado, Devers, Yoshida to have in the lineup every day. And if you want all three, you have to have Yoshida out there playing left field, which clearly they don't want to do. So this allows you to keep DHing Yoshida. This allows you to now at the deadline, if you want to acquire, like if Yoshida's not having a good year, maybe you're still not hitting lefties well, a right-handed hitter is on the market available for trade, like maybe the Blue Jays are out of it and are down to trade Vlad. Like, it allows you to acquire any player you want because that DH spot is open. It allows you to be flexible. You can do anything at the deadline. You can do anything next year if Yoshida can be dumped or even DFA'd with 2 years left. Like with Arenado, as much as I was down to make it work because I didn't want to see this team enter the year without a new like bat and a leader and everything that Arenado would have brought to, like the fit with Bregman, just so much cleaner. I do feel bad for Nolan. There was the Cardinals writer. I forget which one it was. It might have been John Denton or something from MLB.com. I forget who it was. I wish I could credit it. But he did say that the Cardinals are now expected to ramp up discussions with the Yankees for Arenado. So that could be interesting. I prefer that he not go there, personally.
That kind of scares me because, I mean, it was basically like Red Sox were the obvious suitor for Arenado. Everyone knew that. Yankees were like kind of a fit, but now they're the number one fit. And I don't want to be negative, but it scares me that the Yankees are going to fleece the Cardinals. Like I was saying, the Red Sox might have the opportunity to because all the leverage. So we'll see. We'll see. I can't think of another team that Arenado could go to, honestly. Like Dodgers, maybe, but they got Muncy. So I don't even know if they'd be interested.
It would be if they held him, I think. Like if the Cardinals wanted to hold him, have him play out part of the year, and then like maybe mid-season, Muncy's hurt or not playing well, or there's other injuries, Muncy can move around the diamond a little bit. Like maybe another team, like maybe I know the Padres had been floated. Like maybe their financial situation clears up by mid-season. Maybe the Yankees are offering a little bit more because they're in contention and need a third baseman. I do hope they hold him. I hope they. I don't want them to just hand him over to the Yankees, which is kind of. Like, it feels like they're going to just try to get him out of there for the sake of getting him out of there, which scares me.
I think maybe best case scenario is they trade Arenado to the Yankees for nothing and then just kind of like Yankees pay like half the salary. And maybe it's like a fleece in the money sense rather than like, oh, crap, the Yankees got. Well, actually, I was going to say Herrera, but they already have a catcher. They already have a closer. Who? I don't know.
It would be a money thing. They'd fleece it. Yeah. They'd fleece with the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then that's fine. I'm not really. Yeah. I can't really bring myself to be afraid. If the Yankees get Arenado, legitimately hilarious offseason. I keep joking. They have the 2019 All-Star team. But if you get Arenado, my God, it becomes even funnier. Not that he's bad, but old.
I do wonder if he expands his list and they revisit Houston. I think Houston on paper makes a lot of sense. I think especially, too, because Nightingale said even after they did not get Bregman back, they still plan on playing Altuve a little bit in the outfield. I think Houston would make a lot of sense, especially if they're actually still interested. Because I think whatever they would much rather send him to, you know, Houston and get whatever package they had agreed upon a couple of months ago than just ship him off to the Yankees. But, I mean, Arenado's the full no trade. So if he knows the Yankees are interested, he's going to say no anyways. So, I don't know. We'll see. But
it's a good theory.
It's the Arenado thing. He was always, on paper, a much, much, much cleaner fit for the Yankees compared to the Red Sox. They have Oswaldo Cabrera starting at third base right now. So, like, they need, and their defense sucks. It was not as bad as the Red Sox, but their defense was horrendous last year. So, he makes sense for the Yankees. I still think he makes sense for the Astros, too, if you would accept a trade there. Yeah, I don't know. It's his market's weird right now.
I have a question for you guys. Earlier tonight, we got the news that Nick Pivetta was signing with the Padres. 4 years, $55 million, really weird structure, doesn't matter. Sox get the comp pick, and then, what, like an hour and change later, they sign Bregman? Do you think, like, we talked so many times about, like, with the Garrett Crochet trade, we were waiting for a shoe to drop, and then they didn't get freed, and that was the shoe that dropped that made them go in and increase their offer and go put their nuts on the table to get Crochet. And we were talking for months, like, what is that shoe going to be with Bregman? Because he's the best hitter available on the market. And it feels like he should be their plan A. What is that shoe going to... Is it possible that they were waiting to have that comp pick in hand to increase their offer for Alex Bregman? I honestly think that might be a thing. I when I tweeted it, I thought more so coincidence, but the more I think about it, the more I think those picks have monetary value, and maybe the Red Sox did think there was a chance that Pivetta was going to draw this thing out. And once they had certainty with the pick, maybe that got them to increase their offer, and it was like, okay, that this is to the level, like, Alex Bregman didn't want a short-term deal, but now $40 million AAV with opt-outs, like, yeah, like, that's with this team in that ballpark, yeah, that's something that I'm down to do.
Yeah, I get the logic behind that. I just don't think, what is it, the 76th or 77th pick in the draft they got? Like, in that range, mid-70s, we'll call it. Let's call it the 76th pick. I don't think getting the 76th pick, which is going to be a guy that won't play in the majors for 5 years from now, probably. Maybe that's a bit much, but for 3 or 4 years from now, I don't think that affects a $120 million deal. I think it's more of a coincidence. You might be right, but I would guess it's a coincidence. That's,
you'd be shocked how much these teams value these picks. Like that.
No,
like,
I know.
It makes all the difference.
Yeah, we've had these conversations about that before off the record, but, like, I don't know. That's such a small little boost compared to, like, an $120 million deal for an all-star like Bregman. I would lean towards the timing being more coincidental than incidental. Does that make sense? Is that a term?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I don't think the Pivetta pick led them to directly increasing the offer. I do think that they were okay kind of slow playing it and waiting out Bregman, partially due to ensuring they do get a comp pick for Pivetta. I think no matter what, if they truly wanted Bregman, which I believe they do, they were always going to get up to that number they did today, that 3 for $120. That was always going to happen. But if they were, I don't want to say procrastinating, but okay waiting, I should say, until they kind of got, okay, we're getting that pick back, I think it's possible. I don't think it's, like, the reason that he signed today. Because, again, like I said, that I don't think that was a limiting factor. I think that if that was a number they were always going to get to. But the fact that they got that pick today, they're like, we don't need to wait around anymore. We know what we got. We're good. Go. Jump. So, I don't know.
It's just interesting to think about the journey of reporting that it took to get us here. Because... This all started at the winter meetings with Brad Folk. Brad Folk got the report that the Red Sox were going to aggressively pursue Bregman. And, I mean, if you followed the reporting, like, especially if you followed Carrabba's stuff, both on their show and in his Twitter feed, you would have been led to believe that this just, like, had no chance of happening because there was just no optimism on his part. And, like, I'm sure he was being told that, but then it's just a matter of, like, how much of it is strategic info being fed from one of the two parties, and how much of it is real versus strategic. Like, that's the case with every reporter. Like, you gotta look at how do I phrase this? I don't want it to sound like I'm crapping on him, because I'm not, because like you report what you hear. But it's just interesting because I don't know, like he's I don't know. Is what I'm saying make any sense? Like,
yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
You have people told things, but I don't want to compare him to Heyman because he shouldn't be. But it's like when John Heyman speaks, like, you know that that's coming from a place of Boris was using that as leverage. Like, is it possible? And it's not even just with Jared. It's with like everybody who was reporting on the Bregman thing. Like, no one connected to no one reporting on the Red Sox thought that this had any chance. Like, you can take every single one of the beat writers. None of them thought that this was happening for the last, 3 weeks? So, like,
yeah.
It's just an interesting journey to get from there to all of a sudden bomb drops, Chandler Rome, Sox sign Alex Bregman. Like, we didn't see that coming at all.
Not to, like, toot the play Tessie horn too much, but I think what we were saying all along was probably right. And we know the Red Sox operate in the shadows. We've talked about that before. You don't get much info out of them. But based on every other camp, like the Astros camp, all the other teams he was in on, what national reporters were saying, it felt like he was holding out. So it felt like he wanted Boston at least a little bit. And they were playing this game of chicken. And then in the last few days, we started hearing rumblings of maybe he'd consider something more short term that fits what the Red Sox are doing a little bit better. And there you go. I think we were fairly on it. There's no way to know. We'll never know. But just if you read the tea leaves, looking back to like when these rumors started, I feel like we were pretty accurate with what happened. And in the end, like, I think we all agree. We all felt it was very unlikely that he would sign with the Red Sox, and even more unlikely that he would take a short-term deal. But in the last day and a half, we started hearing those rumblings, and things happened fast. We saw Red Sox were in on Max Fried. Don't get him. Boom. Garrett Crochet to the Red Sox the next day. So, I don't know. I think we were on it. You know, and like I said, we'll never know, but it feels like we walked the right path here.
There was one person out of the four of us who said, keep the faith, Bregman was still going to sign here. And I think it might have been me.
Maybe it was Joe
Bregman or something like that.
I will say, Joe
is
would
this
put
redemption in for my who says no proposal?
Nope, go away. Nope,
no,
gone.
Bye, Sue. Out.
All right, no, credit to Joe. I will give Joe credit. Joe would consistently put in the play Tessie group chat, keep the faith, keep the faith. So, yeah.
It does not exonerate the trade.
But he gets credit. You were down to 2.5%. I was all the way down at 5% with the caveat that I'm only at 5 because there's not many teams in on him. And Pat, you were what? Like in that single digit?
I want to say
Pat was at 10, I thought.
I want to say 15 the last time we gave percentages. Okay. I think it was 15.
Fair enough. All right. Pat was close, but we were very low.
And I also put the Cubs, Tigers, Cubs, Tigers, Astros all ahead of the Red Sox.
Okay. I had Cubs, Red Sox in my order. Cubs, Red Sox, Astros, and then like a Grand Canyon size gap because nobody wants to play for the Blue Jays. And then the Tigers ballpark is just a graveyard for hitters. I don't think Bregman wants to do that. So, this is great. This feels so good. Are we in the... What are we grading the offseason now? If this is it, if they don't add a reliever, I would still like a reliever. But if they don't add a reliever, I'd go A- without the Crochet extension.
Oof. I would go... If they don't get a reliever and they don't extend Crochet, I'm still at like a B or a B-.
Hmm.
Because it's just... It's tough because
I'm confident they'll extend Crochet.
With the Crochet extension, it jumps a lot. And if they extend Crochet and they get another reliever, I'm right there in that A- territory. I don't know if you can get to the A territory without having somehow gotten Juan Soto, because there's no off season that can match the off season that would have been had they gotten Soto. So that's the only A for me. You can't get, and it's not even their fault. Like, they offered him 700 mil, but it's like it's a B- now. If they get the reliever, it's a B. If they extend Crochet, that's an A-. Like, that's a big part of this for me. Honestly, no, I'll take that back. I'll say they're at a B now. If they get the reliever, it's a B+. If they extend Crochet, it's an A-.
I would go B+ right now. If they sign a reliever, A minus. If they extend Crochet, A. I have an A plus on my scale, so that would be Juan Soto. But
fair.
As is, I mean, dude, you got an ace. You got a guy with ace upside. I still think they upgraded the bullpen kind of internally, but and then you got your right-handed bat, your leader, and I think you're a lever away from like a legit full stacked roster. And Crochet is like the, I don't want to say cherry on top, because that's a huge, huge portion of the offseason is getting Crochet done. But that's like the last big checkbox, and it's a very like feasible checkbox. Like I still think it's pretty likely he signs an extension. The comments he had yesterday, I still think it's like a negotiation tactic. I think he's just being coy.
Me too.
Because you don't play your hand. Oh yeah, I want one. Look what happened to Pedro.
He's done it too much too. Like he should not have. Like he's already let on way too much that he's down to sign an extension. Like that line that he used today was clearly like, okay, like you got to reel it in and like say something to say that like maybe you'll pitch.
You see the comments on that post? The comments on that post from people, they're like, looks like we've already lost out on Crochet.
So
shut
dumb.
Up. So many of them too. There was like a bunch of them like, they missed out on Crochet because he said like, oh my, his agent was probably like, yo, chill, Garrett,
Yeah.
Let's get you more money, bro. Oh man, I can't even. The only thing I can think about is this lineup and this rotation on opening day.
Think about where they are. Think about like separate it out. Like four aspects of the team. You got the offense. You got the defense. You got the starting pitching. You got the bullpen. Bullpen, I think it's borderline better, but you get the one guy, and it's definitely better. The rotation is obviously better. The defense is obviously better. The lineup, I think you could make the argument is the same, but I would hope that it's better. It's going to depend on the performance of the rookies.
Gotta say it's better. I think it's better. The only way it wouldn't be better is if Bregman like fell off a cliff, Devers got hurt again, Casas got hurt again, Story got hurt again, Yoshida underperformed again and got hurt. Like, there's way.
O'Neill's gone, and O'Neill was their, O'Neill top home run hitter last year.
Yeah,
O'Neill had a better offensive season last year than Bregman.
I know, but he's not. I just don't think that was like a sustainable thing, and it was all like lefties only, and Devers was hurt.
You're comparing next year to last year. You're not saying what O'Neill would have done. You're comparing to what he did do.
I know. I just don't. I think Bregman's the better. It's just such a better fit. Like the contact portion too. Now you can keep Yoshida, like you said earlier, Gordo. You don't have that strikeout thing anymore. O'Neill. Most home runs on the team, also the biggest culprit with the strikeouts, which is why that team got ice cold at times. I love it, man. Okay. So it makes the defense better. It makes you better against lefties. It solves the strikeout problem a little bit.
Improves it.
Yeah. Leadership, check. As Rob said, gets people to the ballpark, check. There's so many boxes this checks. And like, this is one of the first times in so long that I've seen almost every Red Sox fan happy at the same time about a move that happened. Like the Crochet one, there were people saying, oh, that's that overpay. And like Chapman, obviously people are very split on him due to his off-field stuff. Like say what you want about the pitcher, but the off-field stuff, hard to ignore that. Buehler, some people were happy. Some people were like, this is cheap. Why would you not go with XYZ instead? This is like, everyone agrees. This is great. There's like four people who are like sad trombone. Forget those people. They don't matter. This is awesome. If you're a Red Sox fan, I hope you're happy, because I sure am.
One of my favorite stats about Bregman, we're not going to count his rookie year. We're not going to count the COVID year. Games played 155, 157, 156, 91, 155, 161, 145.
That's
that
huge.
Guy is available, and the best ability is availability. That's huge, especially considering last season alone, like you thought they have a pretty good roster, and then Whitlock goes down, Hendricks doesn't come back, Giolito gets hurt, Casas is out, Story's hurt. Having a guy like that, like it's stupid because you never know with injuries, but with a track record, you feel a lot better going into the year.
He plays through shit too. Like it's not even just a matter of like him like it's like Devers. Like he's on the field. And it's, yes, he's staying healthy, but also, like, he's willing to gut shit out. And not for nothing. Like, I'm I feel like I'm like the biggest O'Neal honk, but like you read off those numbers. That's one thing you weren't getting with O'Neal. You didn't get it last year. You weren't going to get it if you brought him back. Bregman's going to be on the field. Like, there were a lot of games last year that the Red Sox had to play without Tyler O'Neal. And any game against left-handed pitching last year when Tyler O'Neal wasn't in the lineup, like, I don't know. I would love to know. I know their record against left-handed starters sucked anyway, but I'd be curious to see what that record was in games that Tyler O'Neal didn't start.
I mean, the availability is the best ability trope is very much true. We love Dom Smith, but like he should not be hitting third for you. He hit third for them multiple times. He would tell you that's not good. Dom Smith would be like, I probably shouldn't be hitting third. Remember against the Pirates who hit fifth in the third game of that series early in the season? I don't know if I'll ever forget this.
Ooh.
Tyler Heineman was DHing batting fifth. So staying healthy, believe it or not, that shit matters. And Alex Bregman, he stays on the field. He is very much like Pedroia light. Not the same skill set, but like personality-wise. Like maybe a little friendlier, but a little bit like Pedroia. Undersized, gritty. He's a ball player. He brings his lunch pail to the field. I'm so excited, guys. I'm sick.
I'm pumped. I'm so excited.
I might throw up out of excitement like a pug.
What the hell?
Don't pugs throw up?
Me on Christmas.
A pug? Hold on.
I forgot about that.
Wait, what?
Pat throws up on Christmas.
When I was a kid, I used to get so excited for Santa, I would projectile vomit.
I forgot about that. That's the funniest thing ever. Oh my God. I feel like it was Pat like, on Christmas.
It was like four years in a row.
At what point would you do it? Would you like wake up in the morning and then instantly projectile?
Dude, I would ruin Christmas Eve gatherings. We would be at my grandmother's house for like hanging out. No, right before Christmas, just projectile like all over the living room, and I have to go home.
Can you imagine if Pat grew up Jewish? God. If Pat grew up Jewish, he would puke 8 times.
Dude,
every night it's like night number one. Blah! Night number two. Oy vey. Jewish Pat. Welcome to the tribe, Pat. Me, you, Gordo, and Bregman.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. I haven't been this happy recording in so long. This is pure. I'm like high on Red Sox baseball right now. It feels great.
All
just
right.
That, too.
We've got to wrap this thing soon. I think we should end. I'm literally trying to think of anything we missed, but
we can stop saying just sign Bregman.
Yeah, like, we're actually going to talk about we'll talk about like the bullpen ad that they need to make. But like outside of that, like it literally we were talking about it on the last show about like, hey, like, wow, we're actually talking about like baseball things. We're talking about baseball and not just talking about what moves they need to do and complaining and. Now it's like we're going to talk about baseball stuff and we're going to be super excited and the team's going to win games and spring training will be fun to watch. It'll be great.
Man, this is exciting. We also have to give a shout out to friend of the program from Section 10, Steve Peralt, with some insane predictions. Did you guys see December 28th? He says, Sasaki, Dodgers, Bregman, Red Sox, Santander, Blue Jays, Alonzo, Mets, Flaherty, Tigers, Tanner Scott, Dodgers. 6-for-6. What the hell, Steve? That's insane.
That's impressive. That's
so
impressive.
So credit to friend of the program, Steve. Well done.
Let's, unless there's something we're missing here, let's wrap it by giving Red Sox win total predictions right now. It's hard because, again, we don't quite know where they're going to finish. I can start us off. I think before I had them as an 85 win team, and I think Bregman gets them to 89. That's where I'll take it. 89.
I will go 90. 90 on the dot.
Pat?
I was going to go 90, but I'll be a little more optimistic. I'll go 91. I'll go 91 and 71.
These are not official.
Oh, yeah.
Not
like official. Our official predictions don't come until the opening day pod. Or maybe it's the pod before that. I don't know. Depends on how we structure shit this year. We'll figure it out.
And Corey, you're gonna do the thing where you yell, "It's opening day!"
Oh,
that fired me up so much last year. That was great. I remember that being like, "Oh, finally, we're here." But the team is not going to be very good. Now we don't have that second part. All right, I want to go to bed. Is that cool?
Yeah. Let's hit the hay. It's a little bit late. We stayed up late doing emergency pop, but it was worth it. It was worth it. This has been fun.
Sleep like a baby tonight.
We've had some good emergency pods this off season. Like, it took us a long time to get here, but like, I mean, even if they don't get that next reliever, it's just, it feels good that we've basically completed it. Like, it took us a long time, and we've done a lot of bitching and moaning. We've done a lot of celebrating, a lot of ups and downs emotionally. When you talk about the Red Sox as much as we do, both on the podcast, but like also literally every day in group chats, on Twitter with other friends, like it's all we do is just talk Sox. So it feels good when it feels like the team cares about its short-term success as much as we do. And man, it makes you excited for the season. It makes you excited to see what Fenway Park is going to look like with fans rooting for a Red Sox team that's going to be likable, that's going to be good, that's going to win games. It's going to be a team that the city can get behind, and it's going to be exciting. But man, I can't wait. We'll be in years again soon. But till next time, this has been Play Tessie, an emergency pod, the Alex Bregman Signs with the Boston Red Sox podcast here on Play Tessie. Till next time, though, remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you're getting your podcasts, Odyssey app, Spotify, Apple, subscribe, rate 5 stars. Find us on YouTube. We're on the WEEI channel where you can subscribe there. You can find the Play Tessie playlist. It has all of our episodes in video form. So you can hit the subscribe button to WEI, hit the thumbs up button on all of our videos, and find us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. So for Sammy and for Pat, for Joe producing, appreciate you guys all jumping on late night. It's past midnight, but when Alex Bregman signs with the Red Sox and the Red Sox are back, that calls for an emergency pod. Glad we got it done. Glad we could do it for you guys. Hope you enjoyed it. And till next time, this has been Play Tessie, emergency pod form. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.